Podcast, episode 12 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very good, Paul. What's today's topic, Paul?
It is Vampire Counts, entitled Children of the Night. Personally, I think it should have been called Aristocracy of the Night, but, you know, we'll go with that, Children of the Night.
It's a bit Twilight, Children of the Night.
They're not shiny. Like, they're not sparkly vampires. Okay, so...
I'm more of a Blade kind of guy. Have you seen Blade?
Blade is cool. Blade 1's quite a good movie, actually. I quite like it.
And 2. Yeah. 3's gets a bit wonky.
Yeah. Okay, well, jury's out. But, like, yeah...
Blade 2's got Ron Perlman in it.
It does, doesn't it?
It's really good. Watch it again.
Okay, so we're about Vampire Counts this time. So it's an episode to link into the Tomb Kings, because obviously they're shared lineage.
Yeah, we've been putting this one off for a while.
We have
done it like 20 times.
And it was we might not have done today, mightn't we? Because we might have had that Skype chat anyway.
That's coming. It'll be better this time, though. I promise.
Yeah. The sound quality will be better, etc. We learn from mistakes.
Right. So we'll do Vampire Counts and... Yeah. What have you been doing, Paul? What's been happening in Paul's week?
So, I played a couple of games of Warmaster.
You normally say what the date is.
Oh, okay. So the day is the Friday. It's Friday morning on the 11th of March. So, since we last recorded, I've played a couple of games of Warmaster. Good practice for Vampire Counts, actually, because I played a guy, Nav, and I played a guy, Josh, using a very similar Vampire Counts.
And what did they play yesterday.
So Nav used his Orcs and Goblins, which he is wont to use.
Did he win?
He did, yeah.
Go the Orcs!
Yeah, he uses a list we wouldn't recommend, but his giant, he's two giants, and in his first turn, his giant rolled a blunder and then a 6, so he 40 centimetres out in the middle of his army. Just his giant. And my Vampire Counts were like, right, we'll try and attack this. Failed to attack it. And this giant just hang around the whole game, smashing me up. And I was just like, no.
So that seems like a thing, two giants in ogres, and then the orc and goblins list.
Well, the fact that, because whenever you fail a command test with them, they have their own, they're not on a blunder, it's their own giant roll. I don't know. He seems to be doing well with them. Anyway, that was a good game, and that taught me a few things about Vampire Counts, which I put then straight into practice against the next player, Josh, who used the Lizardman army, and quite very new to Warmaster. It was only like his fourth game.
Stegadon?
Yep, Stegadon. Okay. And a Slan mounted on a Stegadon.
Oh! What's going on?
Was,
Ring point 7 or something.
Was low. But his army's completely Pendragon. Models. So his army looks lovely. It's, you know.
So is it a turtle Stegadon thing?
No, it's mounted. They do a model that he's mounted on a Stegadon.
Right.
So it looks, I say, it looks fantastic. The only qualm is that the Lizardmen who have like spears, like their spears are quite thin metal. So it's like you could see them snapping.
The
Saurus cavalry have lances, right. And you could see them bending.
But again, they'll probably be using lead based stuff, so it'll be bendier.
But yeah. Anyway, the army, he's probably going to get Rid to commission to do it because he's a player, not a painter.
Like me.
Like you. And I said,
Rid's commissioning out. Rid's taking on commission.
Rid's quoted £120 it would cost for him to do, and he would do it in 3 weeks. So if you are out there and you have a Warmaster armor you can't be bothered to paint, that's kind of a going rate, a very reasonable going rate.
Well, that's
for the
guy superb. You painted my lizard,
like in this case, the guy basically, like, because he came to the table with, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do at painting. I presented him with a solution. We'll see. Maybe we'll take it later. But certainly helps when there's no postage, because I could just literally play him again, take it off his hands, and then bring it back to him at some point. Anyway, that game went well. I won that one. And that was practice for today's thing, using Vampire Counts. And I also played Rid, actually, himself, Net Epic. It was a 3,000-point game. He used Dark Elder, which he's gotten for the first time. And I used Imperial Guard. And he beat me in 2 turns in Net Epic, which was hilarious. Because now, Net Epic... Most of the games are going like 3-4 turns, but these Dark Elder are so fast that literally, and the Imperial Guard are probably the slowest army, and he was literally in my deployment zone, close assaulting me on the first turn, which I thought was hilarious because I did what has he done? But yeah, I thought that was brilliant, and I really enjoyed that game as well. That was very quick.
And who won that? Rid
won that because in the game you've got to get objectives. he was so fast across the board. He had the objective. He played it exactly right, and he was controlling the objectives, and he's got to get a quick win, because his Dark Elder, there's nothing has a save in it. Like, I think the best thing, he's got like a 4+ armor save, which is nothing in the game. And it's like, you hit it, it goes away. He hasn't got a lot on our troops, because they're Eldar. And I can see, you know, like most things, isn't it? Like, left to their own, a specialist army, left to its own devices, it will do, you'll seem really good.
Yeah.
But if you just shoot it, you know, like, you hit it back, it just goes away.
My God, should be good at shooting.
Yeah, well, next time I'll play it differently. I mean, and as I say, it's very early days with NetEpic, and I'm finding the guard, their strength is artillery. So you take, like, an artillery company, and that is pretty damn strong. I mean, there's no other army in NetEpic that can just take loads of artillery, and its range is far. It's very good. It's kings of the battlefield.
Good stuff.
So what have you been up to, Barry?
Oh, well, I haven't done much, apart from I played Magic, I played Standard, and I played Eric at War Machine. That was a 50-point, and I've been using the new Legion Filth.
Which is a Blightbringer.
God, that thing's good.
Took it with Ogryns, Blighted Ogryns.
Warspears, two units. Yeah. All the Ogryns.
Yeah.
And a Port.
Yeah, Pasta
and
Port.
And Ravagor.
Ravagor's fire.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah, well,
I mean, Eric played really, really well.
Circle?
No, he was playing some cruddy Signal list.
Oh, what? Blaze? Oh, no. Right, okay.
So he pops
He's got a bit of a thing for that at the moment.
It's one of those lists that if you don't know what you're doing against it, you can make some really bad mistakes.
Yeah.
So he popped his feet, turn two, and basically, if you kill any of his infantry, it makes his army better. So you just don't kill them. You just stand back and don't kill anything.
It's like a lot of these feats, isn't it? Where you go like, okay, so my army does this. Well, you just do something else.
I'll just shoot your hunter, which is all I did.
Yeah.
And that was it. I just set myself up outside his charge range for next turn, and then he was really unlucky. He rolled a lot of triple ones. And he should have won on scenario, but he didn't. So.
Okay. But and on a little aside, that Blightbringer is a fantastic release, isn't it? Because it's playing Legion. People are playing Legion lists differently because they have a Blightbringer now, and that means they can do infantry.
I mean, I had two units of Warspears and the Warchief and the two Warspear UAs. So I had all the models, but there was never a reason to play them. And now this guy makes them.
And
do you know their power 17, those spears now?
Racks it up, doesn't it? I mean, I played against Mark Pocox, and he had a Blightbringer. That's the first time I played against a Blightbringer. Not recently, but not since last week. But yeah, I was really impressed by that. It contributes every round, because it's got a ranged attack, which is good. It does a buff for the army, which is good. And it's not dying, because it's at the back, which is good.
So and if it does die, you bring it back to life with Peter Agrius anyway.
Yeah, he's a natural choice for that. So it's like, it's legit.
It's good. It makes Legion play different, which
they are probably one of the worst factions for typecast of casters and lists.
Yeah.
Like, how many times can you play Machinations of Shadow, really? It's like, without it being boring.
Not that many. Right, so today's match, it was Vampire Counts, played by Paul.
Hello!
And I was playing my
Vampire
Lizards, which is almost, it's about 80% painted and actual miniatures. But they're so hard to get hold of the units I don't have.
And
I don't want to go down the path
of Pendragon,
because I've already got 80% of my army's GW. But I need two more units of Saurus, two more units of Saurus Cav, and one more unit of Pterodons.
It is awkward. I mean, because I say, I played Josh's army's all Pendragon, and they look fantastic.
Yeah. And if you ever see a unit of Cold Ones go online, they're 45 quid a unit.
Yeah. Yeah,
I could buy a whole new army.
You could
for the cost of these few units I need.
I'd say this match. I'll talk through my list. I'll talk through what I took, and then
we'll talk about the general list later.
So my Vampire Counts list. This is after a couple of games of playing. I'm quite happy with it. It's the army that I'm getting hold of as well. So this is a physical army I'm going to own. So 4 skeletons, 4 zombies, 2 ghouls, 3 graveguard, 4 ethereal host, 4 black knights, 2 direwolves, 2 fell bats, a vampire lord who has the ring of magic, and 2 vampires. One has a sword of might. I completely forgot about that sword of might. And 2 necromancers.
We didn't even say which one had it. So.
Yeah, exactly. Who cares? I mean, so that makes it breakpoint 13, and I put the direwolves and fell bats into scouts, and makes them scouts 10.
Okay. And I was playing this is my tournament lizard army, if I ever get the models I need. So 4 units of skinks, that's the minimum. 8 Saurus, because they're rock stars. 1 Croxigore, 4 Cold One Riders, 2 Pterodons, and then you've got your big frog slan. 3 skink heroes, 2 skink shaman, and a ring of magic on one of them. So that's 19 units, breakpoint 10, and 6 scouting, so I just put the pterodons in.
Well, we both went Ring of Magic. Interesting.
Ring of Magic, good.
Ring of Magic, yeah. So, the name, the way the game went down, we played in an hour and a half, wasn't
it?
Yeah, hour and a half.
89 minutes.
89 minutes.
I think we got to turn four.
Turn four. Barry won 13-5. Basically, my undead, I had the first turn, undead advanced. Barry's initial attack, basically, I made a mistake with some direwolves on the flank. It left them exposed to a pterodon, so I lost my two direwolves cheaply. I shouldn't have done that. I should have had them angled on to Barry's army.
I may still have gone in, but it would have hurt me.
You sometimes forget just how far flyers will go. And you're like, whoops, I didn't even consider that when I moved them.
Because they went in on a second, order.
My fault, casual play, shouldn't have done that. That started the attrition against me. My Barry's cavalry brigade, so 4 units of Saurus cavalry, went into my 4 ethereal hosts. Barry got 3 Shield of the Old One spells off.
So that was good.
All the cold ones, bar 1 unit, are on 3 up armour.
With 5 attacks on the charge.
Which is, well, terror. But,
oh, 4 attacks on charge.
Yeah, but it was basically that armour was just going to, I mean, I was hoping for some kills and I'd lose the whole brigade and then counter. Instead, I got 1 stand and, because of that, those spells were off. And wiped out my ethereal host, and they rolled into my Black Knights as well, and took on 2 of my Black Knight units as well. Which I thought was
they've gone further, but there was nothing else. Nothing. They couldn't go anymore. That's
anyway,
it.
I countered, and once I dealt with the Saurus cavalry, though, the damage they'd done was quite tricky. There was an interest. I took a second photo of this game because we had an interesting situation where I formed a line. Basically, Barry's infantry is left against my massive infantry. I formed a line just over 20 centimeters away. And we'll talk about this when it comes to the magic. With a use of a Raise the Dead spell, I could hold Barry. It was fantastically, shows how good that spell is.
Yeah.
It helped me win a combat and jammed Barry up for a turn. But essentially, I'd taken too much damage or units lost overall, because when those 2 lines were I'm going to lose some guys because I've got, zombies and stuff. And I'm going to get broken.
I've got Saurus.
Basically, Barry did well. But I can see I made a couple of mistakes. I mean, the Direwolves, I shouldn't have done that. And another one, I moved the unit of Ghouls forward to try and then Van Hell's Dance Macabre. Can't do that because they're alive, so they can't take the spell. Again, I made another mistake. Clearly, 2 mistakes were made there. But that's what happens when you don't play an army as regularly as etc. You will make mistakes.
Yeah, it was a very big army you had. It looked intimidating on the table.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not like Tomb Kings, because they do. Your guys do hit hard.
Mm.
The host hit hard.
We'll come into the army list in a mo. But this is the kind of vampire. It is the vampire counts list I'm getting. And it's vampire counts play. They are a fun army to use.
And that. Give them an order on a 5-up.
Van Hell's Dance Macabre.
Yeah, fantastic spell. Mm-hmm. I think when we did Tomb Kings, we said that was the only thing they were missing. Yeah. These guys have got it.
So it'd be interesting comparing them to the 2. And that was, just to recap, Barry won, played to time. It was all good, really.
Good. Yeah.
So, on to my favourite bit of the episode that I look forward to. Fluff bomb time. But first of all, the best bit is we ask Barry what he thinks the fluff is. So it's vampires, Barry. What do you think they are?
I don't even think they should exist. I don't even know why they're here.
Because they're not natural?
No, not because they're not natural. Because what are they doing in the Warhammer Fantasy world?
Well,
it's just completely random. It's like, we need something else, just chuck it in. You know, like they say, you can't impinge on GWIP, but they just literally hoop it in from anywhere. They were just like, we'll have some of this, we'll have some of that,
I see
alien, or you could be tyrannids, you get in there.
Well,
way
back in the day, there wasn't a distinction between undead. There was undead. Now there's then they split it to Tomb Kings and Vampire Counts. So the question is, Barry, what do you think Vampire Counts are?
Well, I know they're vampires, but I don't understand how they exist or why they exist. Is it like they took... What was that book? With the Van Helsing or whatever. No, like in real world.
Oh.
Like, oh, oh, right, some vampire book. Yeah, right. They just say, oh, we'll just port this in because it's medieval-y.
So
it's
are these vampires like Twilight-style vampires? Or are they like...
No, it'd be like, Vlad the Impaler style.
Vlad the Impaler style.
Yeah, right, yeah. I don't understand why they're here, but I guess they're here the same reason as Bretonian are here. Because why not? But going forward, these are going. There's no way these are... There's no way Vampire Counts and Bretonian and stuff are going into Age of Sigmar. No chance.
Nope. Okay, so...
I don't like them. I've never liked them. I don't understand why they exist.
Good. Good northern answers. Right, okay. So, going into the truth, which is...
truth.
The Vampire's Council.
The truth is, they needed to sell some more skeletons.
Okay.
Painted differently than Desert Theme.
Ah, the Vampire Council arm models are very nice. Right, okay, so...
Were they the same skeletons?
No, they were different skeletons. Mm. They're going to die, though. They're already dead, but they're going to disappear. Vampire Counts, basically, okay, we talked about earlier in an episode, I forget the number, but we did an episode about Tomb Kings, we talked about Nagash as their fluff. So Nagash, you know, the creator of all the undead, creates an elixir of everlasting life, basically a way of extending his life, and he decided that his most trusted minions would have this life, because why bother training somebody else every, like, 50 years, because they keep dying of old age, when you could just have them forever, couldn't you?
Useless humans.
And he can't have automatons as his lieutenants, they have to be able to think. So he recognises that even though he's aiming for godhood, he still needs some capable minions.
Some boots on the ground.
Yeah, some boots. And people can actually use brains. So he creates this elixir of everlasting life, which he perfects and, like, creates...
Well, doesn't need, obviously.
But that's how he extends his life.
Okay.
And he gives it to his most kind of trusted lieutenants and stuff, and that's Arkhan the Black, for example. Anyway, when Nagash goes away, as for fluff, see that episode, the books of Nagash, which contain how it is done, are split up and taken, and the Nefertari, the queen of one of the city-states in the Kraken, gets hold of these books and decides she likes being young and beautiful. It's not really likes the idea of aging.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Like, so decides I'm gonna make my own version of Gash's, like, elixir and
so
live forever.
She reverse engineers it, does she? Or does she find
she gets it wrong? She gets it wrong. She gets it wrong. Basically, Arkhan the Black is a true immortal in that he is alive and has no kind of drawbacks. But he is basically kept together by magic and Nagash's will, but that's the elixir going correctly. Nefertari's, the ones that his vampire counts, is the elixir gone wrong, basically. So it gives you the everlasting life, but it gives you these drawbacks about needing blood, gives you these drawbacks about damage to sunlight, and
garlic.
Yeah, your classic
vampire
problem.
I can't see any mention of garlic in here.
Garlic, or is silver. It really a thing? Silver is definitely a thing. Anyway, basically you've got these problems with it. So, thus, this race of vampires, let's call them, exist in Nekraken. Eventually, people start questioning why Nefertiti never dies. That seems
and
a bit
still
weird.
Looks 18.
Yeah, it's like, really didn't think the long-term plan about this. Anyway, and so they're put, yeah, basically they're attacked, they're found out, and, you know, they're banished and attacked, and wars happen. The vampires flee away, because it's not just Nefertiti, she's created a whole bunch of other vampires to, like, keep her company. You know, lovers and, like, handmaidens. And they flee to everywhere they can in the old world, and they basically then create these bloodlines, so to speak. So they're all descended from the original, like, Nekraken vampires, but you have, like, Von Karstein is the most famous ones. They settle in the Empire and have an attempt to overthrow the Empire. And there's the vampire wars in the Empire's history where they basically Manfred and Vlad von Karstein are trying to, you know, Vlad's the older one, you know, Manfred comes later. You get, but that's the most notable.
Yeah.
Then there's, like, Sturjoy and, like, Lahamon and stuff. Lahamon are the ones of Nekraken. Anyway, that's who the Vampire Counts are, is they are immortals and they can pass on their gift by what's called, like, the vampire's kiss. So basically they need blood to continue living, unliving, but they can drain somebody and let them have some of their blood, and that creates a new vampire,
okay?
A gelt, as they're called. And then, but they're very hesitant to do it.
Why?
Basically, because what they don't, their biggest weapon or their biggest reason they exist is by keeping their own numbers low and not letting humans and other societies go purge, you know, try to purge them. So basically, the kind of, as I say, that I wanted the title to be Aristocracy of the Night. There's like this inner, there's this inner vampire circle which kind of governs their race. And if vampires start making too much of a nuisance for themselves, like as in eating too many people and getting bringing attention, actually other vampires will hunt them down to like keep them suppressed.
Yeah, like yeah,
because yeah. Okay. they view
none of this seems particularly Warhammer fantasy.
No, it's very. Oh, who wrote Interview with a Vampire?
Yeah, Anne Rice.
It's very Anne Rice. Yeah. You know, like, and it's, you know, basically, it's questions, isn't it? Because it's like Skaven in fantasy. Like, their main weapon is persuading nobody that they exist. And it's like, yeah, they're a massive race. Yeah, everywhere.
See, my problem was, I think, if I was in charge of the vampires, it'd be go big or go home. I'd, like, split the human race in two.
Yeah, right.
We'd have half of us as vampires and half of us as cattle.
Mm-hmm.
So we get, like, half the world's vampires, then we don't have to worry about being purged, because there's...
Yeah,
billions
yep.
of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other half, we just milk every day for blood, and that's it. Get on with it.
That's very much like what Vlad von Karstein would want.
He's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, like, but
this squirreling away.
Okay.
Hiding.
So anyway, to continue with the fluff, is they continue to exist and sort of in the shadows, and then in the end times rolls round. Obviously, Nagash comes back into the world, calls his lieutenants back. The vampires have to do what he says, kind of like, and Nagash can destroy them quite easily if they don't.
Well, because, even though it's not his elixir, it's somebody else's.
Well, yeah, but he still has kind of control. Basically, he's the master of undead, right, and at their core, they are undead.
Right.
And as much as like Manfred's like a key character in the end time story, as much as he tries to like go against Nagash, ultimately he can't. And Vlad's a very interesting character because he's brought back, you know, to life again, like in the end times. And he's actually kind of pro empire almost, because even though he's evil, he wants to like rule, be a lesser count. You know, he doesn't want to be emperor. He wants to basically be in the empire, and he even defends the empire on behalf of the empire and points in the story. Which is, and that's in all the best books, all the best fluff in that series, as I said before, is in the first book, Nagash. It all goes a bit shite from then on, really. But
so do they make it out?
Oh, no.
They don't make it out at all?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
No. I mean, I think Vlad might be, the spirit of Vlad might be in some Stormcast Eternal or whatever, if you believe that.
Or
if
maybe some dwarf birdmen came and flew
I don't away. Know. Like, I mean, obviously, I'm not a fan of the Age of Sigmar. So that's who the vampire counts are, I think, pretty exhaustively. So they are, really interesting. They're obviously, to be a vampire.
But they're only interesting in the fact that there's nothing in the Warhammer world that makes them interesting. It's interesting because you like vampires, you like Twilight, or Anne Rice, or whatever.
They are meant to be, like, superhuman, super strong, super quick, have these powers, can do magic. Basically, they're immortal. If they can keep getting blood, they just keep existing.
Yeah.
And they don't get dementia or anything. They only get basically more powerful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good for them. Right, so that's our fluff bomb from Paul. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you
for your research.
Bomb.
Vampire Cat army list. Right, I'll start off. Skeletons, infantry. Whoa. Two attacks, three hits, six up armor, 30 points, minimum two.
Exactly.
You take four.
Exactly. Exactly the same as Tomb Kings.
Unlike Tomb Kings, you take four because you've already got to take something else in a minute and you really don't want to go mad. There's no Roman or anything to protect them
with. There's nothing really to say about them, is there, skeletons?
I was convinced you weren't even going to engage them. I was convinced you were going to hide them at the back.
Oh, in our game? Just
Not that they did much, but even putting them in harm's way.
That's a fair thing, but I'd try to use everything.
I'd much rather kill four skeletons than four grave guards, four black knights.
Yeah, of course you would. Yeah. So, zombies are infantry. Two attacks, four hits, no armour, three units, 35 points, and they're min-max two, so minimum two. Again, you have four, because you have to have four.
Are they better than skeletons? They cost more.
It's what these two are like. Okay, so skeletons are obviously, you know what they are. Zombies are newly risen corpses. Vampire counts tend to make use of more gooey undead than Tomb Kings.
Gooey, less bony.
Less bony, more gooey. And these two are like the problem of skeletons and zombies in Blood Bowl, where essentially it's the same thing. It's just with one minor difference. And it's like...
You don't want to take either, but you have to.
Yeah, you don't want to take...
I'd rather have a thrall. or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's like, so, I mean, there used to be, in versions of Vampire Counts lists, there used to be four units four unit size
of zombies.
Of zombies,
yeah.
For the same point.
But three hits.
But three, yeah. Instead, they've changed it to four hits. I mean, you take them because you have to have them, you don't take any more.
Potentially, that's eight really easy break.
Yes, yeah.
With not much you can do about it.
No. Mm-hmm.
You can't screen with Bowman,
I mean, I think the way you would play Vampire Counts is like proper, yeah, is in what I was seeing, is they are second wave troops, basically.
Yeah. Like, if you're using them, you've already lost.
Yeah.
Second wave.
But they're cool. I mean, they can do. You should use them like goblins. They can do all the things that any infantry can do, just as well as the best infantry. So they should be doing the things that
goblins
do.
Ghouls. Ghouls are infantry. Four attacks. That's good. Mm. Three hits. No armor save. 55 points. Ooh.
No min max. Ghouls are men who have eaten like dead flesh and stuff, and have gone and then they became
cannibal.
They've gone cannibal, basically, and they become like a subsequent race of that, and they've been hanging around undead ever since because they like. But they now they got some interesting rules. They got some read out their unique rules as well because they're alive. So we should have said.
Okay, we got the army rules.
We should do the army rules.
Do the army rules then.
Okay, so they're undead. The whole army's undead. That means there's no terror for them. And they never act on initiative. There's no minus one command penalty if anything near within 20. And they don't have a confusion. Ghouls do. So this is how army lists are different. Vampire Counts has a unit of living troops in it, which is ghouls, and they act on initiative. They have all the things of being alive, so they have benefits and negatives. Tomb Kings, obviously, everything's dead, nothing, but they have. So that is unique. That is where you play with ghouls, is they have initiative. So
you took three units.
I took two.
Two.
And it's like what to do with them.
They're interesting, aren't they?
But they are.
Four attacks is good.
Yeah.
No armor's bad.
No, I mean.
And they can be driven back, they can be confused.
Exactly.
You don't want them on the front line.
Exactly. I mean, I think they're flanking troops, and you want to try and get them to use their initiative value, I think.
Yeah. Interesting.
They shouldn't be. I don't think they should be brigaded amongst anything else in the Undead Army because they're just going to get confused by something. Yeah. So. Personally, I don't know. Like, jury's out with ghouls. Like,
they're not terrible at 55 points, but they're not cheap.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of glass cannony, aren't they? Like, got lots of attacks, but no armor, low hits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they can use initiative, which is a big thing.
Yep.
Okay.
So, Graveguard infantry, three hits, three attacks, five up armor. 60 points, minimum zero, maximum four. So the Grave Guard are your elite infantry.
Well, they are elite, aren't they? They've got an extra attack and an extra armour.
Yes, I mean, they. So, I think.
They're like higher spearmen.
Yeah, they are.
The same point.
They're exactly the same.
Yeah,
they're higher spearmen.
Yeah, good.
I think they're a bit undersold. Grave Guard are meant to be like elite dead warriors.
Well, that is elite.
Well, yeah, I'm saying, but
they've
like,
got three attacks.
Yes,
that's elite.
I think what I'm saying in 8th edition fantasy, Grave Guard were a lot more powerful than that stat line would suggest, I would say. But I suppose.
But where else would they be? They could only go to four attacks, and that really would be crazy.
Yeah, it'd be too much, wouldn't it? Yeah, so.
They're not going to get more armour than that.
No, they're not.
That's a fair price. I'd actually. They're one of the highlight units, I think, for this.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Ethereal Host. These got a lot of shenanigans.
Yeah.
So three attacks, four hits, no armor. That's a theme. Yeah. That's a theme for you.
Yeah.
And they are 90 points with a maximum of two.
Mm.
And you took.
And what's
four.
Their special rules?
The special rules: always hit on a four up, regardless whether the enemy's in the open, defended or fortified. Enemy otherwise count in the open. Defended or otherwise in all other respects, e.g. charge bonuses don't count, etc. Ethereal Hosts cannot be driven back by shooting and do not roll for drivebacks, which is very good. Because that's, even if you can't be driven back, like...
Well, the rest
like
of the undead
players, you can still kill troll players by driving them back
the rest
to the dice.
Exactly, the rest of the undead troops will be driven back. They won't be confused.
But they can still be killed.
But like they can lose stands to shooting.
But they can't be driven back trying to die. Right. They cause terror, which is very good, actually. They've got a lot going on, these guys. I'll be honest, they can't be given magic items. You know, if you ever see that, they can't be given, that means they're good. If something says that in the rules, then they're very good. These were my priority one on your list.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to hide skinks in terrain, and these would destroy them.
They would dig them out.
They would destroy my skinks.
Because they would hit on fours, they'd cause terror on you, they'd be straight.
Even without the charge bonus, they're still doing three dice each.
Exactly. It's they're a really good unit, actually. Vampire counts as an army, has a lot of terror in it. It has vampire, has ethereal hosts, and it can get two mounted terror causing mounts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of terror in Vampire Counts army. And these are the troops that you use to get anything out of scenery, because they doesn't matter to them. Yeah, it's,
I mean, they are 90 points, that's a fair water point.
Yeah, it's a lot
of, and they've got no armour.
Yeah, you're paying points for that, but they are a good tool set unit, definitely.
Okay, so they were my top priority, and I sent my entire 4 brigade of Cold War Knights to eat them, and they did eat them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because of no armour.
Yeah, and they, and you with them, you would probably take 4 units, I would think. I would suggest to take of the theory hosts.
Maybe, or maybe this would be the unit you'd go down to get more Grey Guard. Maybe, maybe.
So, Black Knights, Cavalry, 3 hits, 3 hits, 4-up armour save. 110 points, minimum nothing, maximum 4. Exactly the same profile as Empire Knights, except
Silver Helms, or
Silver Helms, except they're undead, so they have the negatives and
positives
of that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the positives are good. They're not using initiative charges and annoying.
No. Mm-hmm.
You were relying on your general to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
General does a lot in this army.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, we'll come on to the commands in a bit. So that's what Black Knights are. They, that 4-up armor save's good, and you can, and the fact that like they don't suffer from confusion is quite a nice one. So they can be more defensive than other units of knights, because you can, like, it doesn't matter if they're pushing into their own stuff, because they're never going to be confused. They're a bit more. I think they're a bit less attrition. A bit less. Offensive, because they can't use initiative, but they are more defensive in the no confusion.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Direwolves, Cavalry, 2 attacks, 3 hits, no save, 40 points, and you have a maximum of 4.
They also have a special rule.
They have a special rule. If the unit charges against an enemy in the open, it receives an additional +1 attack in the same way as chariots or monsters. Direwolves cannot have magic items.
How would they hold it? In their teeth? Yeah.
These, they're not bad, but they remind me of why Chaos Hounds are good. Because Chaos Hounds have an extra attack, which is the same as these, on the charge, but you don't need to charge. And the profile's the same, but they're 30 points.
10 points cheaper.
Chaos Hounds are just awesome.
They're
alright, but I didn't really see a need for them.
No, I suppose not. I mean, they're good, like, with our scouting rules, they're good troops for scouts. That sort of thing.
We've already got enough chaff.
They're chaff cavalry, so they're not. They can't take a hit, so they're more for flanking detail. Okay. So Felbats, monster. Only monsters in the army. 2 attacks, 3 hits, 6-up armor. 65 points. Minimum 1. Minimum none. Maximum 1. They are flyers, and they're based. They're bad rules for basing monsters. So they're based on the long edge, like harpies.
They're cheap.
They can home back, but they can't use initiative to charge.
Okay.
And they're cheap. So you would take 2 units because.
Because of the things you can do with flyers.
Things that you can do with flyers. You can, like, position them behind a unit that you're going to fight.
Which you did,
like,
or 2 units.
Yes, you can to capture them, and they're the thing that you chase artillery about with.
Okay. Because Paul used, as you rightly should, he put a unit of Felbats 1 centimetre away from 2 units of cavalry, Cold War Knights, and killed them all.
Yep. Yep.
As you do. As just by winning combat by whatever you
by
need.
By one.
Win. One's enough.
By one. Mm-hmm.
So that was sad days for mine.
And
bad news.
So, like, what are Felbats? Direwolves and Felbats are the minions of Vampire Counts, like creatures of the night. And the Black Knights, as you can imagine, are like mounted skeleton elite warriors.
Okay, so Felbats, I would definitely take 2. Any unit, any list that has access to cavalry, flyers, I'd take 2 because they're so useful.
Yep.
And then we got the dudes. Vampire Lord General, 2 attacks, and his command's 9, he's 150 points, and he is a sorcerer.
He's a wizard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very handy.
Yeah, so that we'll run through all their characters, won't we? A vampire is a hero, plus one attack, a command 8. Again, that standard 80-point cost for a hero, exactly the same profile, minimum, maximum 2. Leaving a necromancer as their wizard, a command 7 wizard, exactly the same rule, same as an empire wizard, exactly the same.
Yep.
And they've got two mounts, a winged nightmare for 80 points, gives him plus 2 attacks, flying and terror, and a black coach for 40 points, gives him plus 1 attack and terror. That's it. Yeah, that's what I mean, I always found the black coach idea of it. A winged nightmare is basically an undead creature, you know, like, so like a dragon or something. A black coach is a bit nonsense. It's basically it's how a vampire gets transported around in the daylight. He can't go around in the day. It goes in this black coach. And it had some really stupid rules in Old Hammer. Like, it would get better and buffed up. And
start flying.
Yeah. The thing, basically, and ultimately, it's a hearse. Like, so I would probably model a black coach as something else. I don't know. A mini monster, I'd probably model it as.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that didn't really sit with me, was the black coach.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be the black coach entry. It's a chariot mount. I'd probably model it as a mini monster. Yeah, because just because... just bullshit. Anyway, their command. So their character's command. Command 9, when you consider the undead not lacking of enemy near and confusion, is actually quite good. They have good command, vampire counts.
They also have, unlike Tomb Kings, they have hero.
Much bigger range of command. So their vampires or heroes can command 60. In Tomb Kings, only the general can get order over 20 because it's a general and wizards. Here, you've got a general and heroes. That's going to be better than general and wizards.
Yeah, and also your wizards aren't being dragged out of position for raised dead.
In a list that I've written on how I would play vampire counts, your wizards can concentrate much more on position for spells than they do need to be on command.
Because
basically a vampire lord with command 9, so he can order forward a unit of cavalry on a 9, brings them to a flank, and then brings them in on a flank on an 8, which is just going to give in. Like, so your high elf, the best general and around, can do that on a 10-8.
10-9.
Sorry, 10-9, isn't it? Yes.
10-9's very good.
And the vampire does it on a 9-8. So one step down, basically. To get those flanks off, those flanks in. He could do it with black knights, for example.
But you could also, if I was nearer to you, you don't have to worry about enemy near.
And you could push them position. You'd have more flexible on position because you could put the knights within 20 of the enemy.
But knights one centimetre away.
You could put one centimetre away and bring him in on an 8. So it's good in a different way as well. So I think the whole no initiative is your command rolls are a lot more important because you can't do anything on initiative. So basically, when the fight happens and you've got to counter, you can't trust to initiative to see you through, and then a few orders to support the attacks. You've got to make those rolls.
But I think the vampire counts seemed a lot easier to command than Tomb Kings.
Yeah, I think they are.
And that's partly to do with your not pulling your sword. Your sorcerers don't matter if they're out of position.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas the other guys are always out of position.
Yeah, right? the Tomb Kings really struggle with command. Vampire counts less so, because they don't have troops that... I mean, they're not going to have troops that are going to hang behind and basically, a vampire counts army is a big infantry army coming forward. That's what it hasn't got artillery. It has no range game at all.
They don't even pretend.
So
spell maybe.
They are massive infantry coming at you. Okay. So let's talk about the spells.
Right. You talk about this one. I'll talk about Raise Dead. Raise Dead. It's fantastic. it's not the best spell in the game, in my opinion. No. But it's pretty near.
Yeah. It's
it's 5 up to cast. You need a combat nearby and. Yeah, just bring those skeletons up in the back.
I would say I would vote for it being the best spell in the game. An example...
It certainly works better under our rule set because you raise them in the back and you can't attack them.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's miserable.
Yeah, exactly. So in our example of our game today, I raised the unit of dead into the back of a combat, which was...
Pterodons. So now you can't fly away.
Can't fly away, they're going to die. So it meant the combat... No, not only did I... win the combat easily.
Because you put 6
position.
More attacks in.
But what it then did is then the fallback move, I sent that unit of 3 skeletons right in front of Barry's infantry, one centimetre away. So all Barry can initiative charges them. He will obviously wipe them out. They give nothing away because they don't count to break. And then he can't... And I position my army over 20 centimetres away from where that combat would be. So he can't advance into a combat. So basically, I've pinned him. Unless he tries...
So for the whole turn, all until is one unit of irrelevance.
So this one spell allowed me to win a fight and to stall Barry out for a turn. One spell. Got two uses out of it. So that's why it's so good. It's exactly the same as we said in for the Toon Kings episode. It works on attack, attrition, defense.
But it's possibly better here because you've got a better command.
Yes, yeah. I mean,
so you can move stuff around better.
Basically, if your opponent's giving you, if there's vampire counts want protracted combats, don't they? They want lots of combats over multiple turns. So they just keep getting off the spell. And it will become a very good big tipping point is when they say they get three units in the game, three extra units, that's massive. Then they're just like, oh, we'll just give you my three units of nothing for you.
But it only sounds like an extra 5% of an army, but it's what you can do with that 5%.
It's what you can do with it, yeah.
Especially if you're playing Bretonians, make them charge the chaff just raise.
Yeah, because, I mean, or anything that has to charge, you go, here, charge this for me, thanks for that, bring your opposition, now I'll kill you. It's so good. The next spell.
But you have less chance of getting off. You only had three wizards.
Yes, yeah, that's the playback. Two King's armies probably going to have four wizards. Well, they have three.
Okay.
So, Van Hell's Dance Macabre. Range 40, good range. Basically, a unit of undead, not ghouls, remember
not
that.
Ghouls.
Can receive an order.
Fantastic.
Movement spells are always fantastic, and this one's limited by one unit in the list that can't receive it. It's not a big deal unless you make that mistake. So yeah, great spell.
It's a fantastic spell. I've got a similar spell with the Lizardmen, but my wizard
Wings of the Jungle.
He has to stay with the unit and then die with the unit.
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
This is what we were saying. Toon Kings, if they had this, they'd be awesome.
Well, yeah.
Vampire Counts had this.
Have this.
And so they're awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Your next spell, Barry?
Deathbolt. This is bog standard. Three attacks, no armor save.
Yep.
Range 30.
Yep. So
it's, nothing to say about it.
Armor gives no effect.
I mean, you've got so little shooting in the army. What's the point?
Yeah, really, this spell, no.
Unless you're going to try and kill an artillery piece or something on two lucky hits.
You can't affect the same unit twice with two death bolts.
No, really, if you roll 2 4-ups, you can still kill a cannon.
Well, yeah, I think that's it.
But yeah, but why bother?
Why bother? Yeah, like
you've got better things to be doing.
And then you've got Curse of Years, 6 up to cast, range touching. So you crumble the enemies to dust. Wizard has to be in combat and takes 6 attacks worked out in the usual way. Any hits scored are carried over to the first round of combat for the purpose of working out combat results. So you could give your vampire lord a ring of magic. You send him into a fight. He has two. I'm just saying. I'm just theorising here.
Yeah, do that.
It's like last turn. You've got nothing else better to do. You send the vampire lord in. He adds 2 attacks. He also casts this with a ring of magic. Add another 6 dice.
No, you're telling me it's a 6-up and I've got to join the combat.
Yeah.
And then I get 6 attacks.
Yeah.
So that's a wound and a half against cavalry.
Yeah.
No chance. No way. You took the ring of magic not for this.
No.
For the raised dead and Van Hell's dance. That's it.
Yeah. Dance Macabre. Yeah.
So you can basically, the right hand side of the. Because they've got 2 spells. They're very, very good spells, though.
Yeah, yeah. I would rate their spell list as very strong because they have 2 awesome spells.
It could be these 2 spells could make it the best list.
Yes,
in the game.
It could be. It could be, definitely. Because the other 2, well, one you're never going to cast, and this other one is...
Which one are you even going to bother trying?
We're never going
to
cast Deathbolt, but
you might cast that.
You might try Curse of Years.
No chance.
I suppose not, really.
You've got to put it in, you put a wizard
to be honest,
combat.
Actually, why not just cast Raise Dead for a 5 and have 6 attacks from another way?
From the behind.
Yeah, from behind.
Without the wizard in combat.
Yeah.
No.
You're right, you're exactly really right there, actually. Yeah, so you'd never cast these 2 spells, as I said earlier. Yeah, like.
These 2 are good.
But 2 good spells are all you need to make it maybe the best lore.
Oh, absolutely. Those 2 spells are fantastic.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So good for that. So, what's next on our list?
Strengths and weaknesses of vampire counts. So strengths. We have wizards. We have spells. We have ethereal hosts. We have black knights.
Anything else? They were my strengths, because I did the show notes.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to let people know.
And you have I think a strength is having a unit of living troops in there.
Do you?
It's a bit weird. But, like, you got flyers. That's another strength.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I should have put those in. Any list with flyers. That's a strength.
Yeah, strength sure. Flyers.
Even the cruddy ones, because they're cheap.
And I would say also, well, I suppose it's under your theory host, isn't it? Terror bomb. You have a lot of opportunities for terror. You have three sources for terror in the army. One from a unit.
Yeah, units with terror are unusual.
Very rare. And two mounts. Both mounts for characters have terror. So I didn't take any terror-mounted characters, but you have it in troops as well. So if you're playing a game where the terror is going to be like an army just really not like playing against terror, that's a big strength for vampire counts.
Yeah, but I think the ethereal hosts are probably bring enough.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah. So the weaknesses: no ranged or artillery, leadership issues, and no initiative. Well, yeah,
the leadership issues weren't as bad as I expected.
No, actually,
the leadership issues are more tunking.
If you take enough characters and play them correctly, you shouldn't have massive problems.
Yeah, I think this is one of the rare occasions I'm going to say that the way you build your list is better than the way I'd have built it. Because no doubt I'd have built a list with a vampire lord, two necromancers, and one combat vampire.
Yeah.
And three of them would have been out of position.
Yeah.
And it would have run all down to the lord. And the two heroes really did a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Maybe. Well, thanks.
No, I'm telling you that.
In my first build of this, in my game against Nav, I put exactly that combo together. I put a vampire lord, a mounted combat hit vampire, and two necromancers. And I did struggle to move the army enough. And I was like, this is wrong. I need to, for 80 points, I need another vampire. Instead, so I dropped him off.
And
just put in another hero. And I found that was better. Because even though the combat, the adding four attacks at will is good and having terror, but you might have terror there anyway from an ethereal host. And actually, you need to move the army. This is a big army.
It's a massive army.
Yeah, yeah.
What's 25, 26 units? It's
25 units.
Massive army. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what I was worried about, because like when I played Two Kings, you had like 26, and you can't move the buggers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this, I don't think the leadership was a problem. I'm going to cross it off. That's not a weakness.
Okay.
Under this build,
it's officially happening. We are crossing leadership issues off.
Not in your build.
Yep.
Not with the two heroes. You could have had more heroes, but I wouldn't recommend that.
You could have done, but I think that, I mean, the wizards do have a movement spell. So between, I think, a general, two heroes, and two movement spells, or three at will. I think that's enough. Yep. Okay. So, okay, but they have absolutely no ranged or artillery. They have no range game. So, the only way you're going to play them is infantry hordes coming at the enemy. That's the only way.
But, Lizardmen are the same.
Unless you went for some build where, and what's the minimum maximum knights? You could have four, so you could have eight units of black knights, I suppose. Mm-hmm. You could take, but. No, I wouldn't. I don't think so.
No, I think your list was good. Mm-hmm. I'd maybe fiddle around with the ghouls and the graveyard, mm-hmm. Graveguard,
yeah,
and the direwolves.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, part of that again is my want to include something of everything. Yeah, you know, like as I want to do.
So you want to do it.
Yeah.
So also weaknesses: no initiative. That is a definite weakness.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I mean, and basically, as I say, like
there were plenty of times when your stuff could have got stuck.
Yeah, you're going to come like this is an army where you're going to come forward with brigades of infantry. The enemy fights the first brigade of infantry, probably beats it, but you do some attrition. Then he's left to be countered on. You don't have initiative to automatically counter. You have to make those command rolls. So you do have these really big dice moments where it's like, if this general doesn't pass this 9, I'm losing the game. So, I mean, it's hard 9 rolling at times. Hard 9, hard 8s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the final one was, I said, the basic infantry is rubbish. But they don't have to take that much basic infantry. It's not like Tomb Kings where the only choice is skeletons.
Yeah.
You can bring Grave Guard.
You can
bring Ethereal Host.
I mean, that plus one armor save is big. Yeah, like it's a big deal because it's there all the time. You're right. It's
Well, I don't like skeletons. I don't like zombies. That's why they make you take them.
That's why I made him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why the game's good.
And when you set up against vampire counts, you look for the skeleton zombies. That's what you want to go kill, because that's a easy break point.
Yeah.
Easy.
I think that you could potentially play them where you lead with the. I mean, I was playing the games where I'm leading with my best troops, because if you lead with the worst troops, they're just going to die for nothing.
You know, like, and then you're under pressure already.
Yeah. So probably best to lead with the best troops. And you could form brigades up with, like, say, Graveguard at the front and zombies or skeletons supporting them. But or is it better to have like a brigade of Grey Guard and then two brigades of like lesser stuff that are wave two? I don't know. Yeah, that's how repetitive play and like gearing them up for a tournament would dictate what you try to do.
Yeah, how you build brigades is definitely a thing. Yeah. We should talk about that one day.
Yeah.
In an episode.
So
anything else weaknesses wise?
No, I don't think so. I think it's everything, isn't it?
I like them. I like.
So why play VCs and any other comments? I like. Yeah, again. I mean, I saw a good deal to own a Vampire Counts army. I saw a deal where I could get a unit for £7. And that's why. And I was like, well, because I remembered my earlier podcast statement where I said, well, if the money was right, I would own any army in War Master, and the money,
and all of them,
and the opportunity was right. So the money was right for this army, and I've ordered it. I will obviously own them and try to use them in events because it's. Is it like similar to like Muskaven is going to be there? They'll have a similar breakpoint as Skaven lists I've written. Is like this is how big an army can be. You know, if an army gets a good breakpoint of 10 when you're 13, you're 5-6 units more.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm scared of the Skaven because they've got leadership 10. Yeah,
and they're close, order. But not. They have similar command issues of Lisbon. They don't. Nothing can give over 20.
So can you get everything in that brigade within 20?
No, you can't physically get everything in one brigade. But you can get an awful lot.
You have it in a square?
It's square. Line, is it? Yeah, I suppose that. Yeah, all right, yeah. Why not? Yeah, so we form a big square of Skaven with the Grace here in the middle going, forward, 20. Everyone stop.
On a turn.
And then he has to move up afterwards. So like, make way. I'm back in the middle now. My turn. Forward 20. Yeah, I suppose you could, actually.
Square
of Skaven.
So why play Vampire Counts, Paul? Apart from you bought an army on the for a good raid.
Why would you play them? Again, if you like they're very generic fantasy. If you like vampires, like as in that start that idea behind what they are, this is what you're going to get. You've got a massive infantry army in this lot, and of completely expendable troops. Ultimately, the only thing that matters a bit. Is the vampire in the fluff anyway, because everything else you just bring back. So if you want to play like a callous, you know, like cold-hearted vampire, this is why you use Vampire Counts, isn't it? Because you nothing, and even if you lost, you can say, well, if I didn't lose the vampire, it doesn't matter, does it? I'm like the White Walkers in Game of Thrones. I just raise them back.
Oh, and it's like, coming back.
They're coming back. It doesn't matter to me.
So I think they're a better rounded list.
Tier. We've got to talk
A better rounded list than Tomb Kings.
Yes, yeah, so I would say they're tier 2.
Yeah, they're definitely
They're not tier 1. And they're not tier 3.
No.
So they are like the majority of armies tier 2.
Yes, easily.
And yeah, I look going forward, it would be interesting to take these two at a singles event.
Well, tier 2 doesn't mean they can't win events.
No. I mean, haven't seen a Vampire Counts army on the table. I haven't seen one, somebody use them. I mean, because there is so many lists in this game, but I think you would be a unique special snowflake as well. Yeah, like, because I don't think anybody yet. Because Tomb Kings are very common. Tomb Kings are actually quite common.
Well, the models are common.
The models are
common. These models aren't common.
No, these are not common. And, yeah.
Are they different skeletons?
Yes. Yes, okay. They are. There's some pictures here, actually. Oh, no, those skeletons are the same, aren't they? No, but they did have unique... The zombies are unique, for example.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Maybe the skeletons are the same. I'm not sure. But mostly it's different models. I think. But even if they weren't, actually... Well, who cares? I mean, like, a skeleton and a mounted skeleton is a mounted skeleton. So owning these means you could attempt to do a Tomb King army as well, couldn't you? And vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wouldn't play them, although I do like them. Mm-hmm. I'd fear playing against them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Which is a good sign.
Make you think, wouldn't they? Make you think. I mean, you know, in a game, in War Master, where there is no turn limit, you know, you can spend that time... To spread out an army to enlap around somebody, you don't have to funnel everything. You don't have to funnel everything forward because if you're not taking a long time, physical time on the clock to do it, and there's no turn limit, you can spend those turns setting up your surrounds. Basically, the differences will be there is like is the enemy giving you the time to do that, whether by shooting you or bringing his army forward. But you could envelop somebody, with this army. Skaven could do a similar thing, But their struggle, they've got much less command on their characters. So yeah, they would struggle there.
No, I like the command on these a lot. Right, so what else? I'll just talk a little bit. I've ordered some stuff for Pendraken.
Yes, so have I. Yeah, yeah.
Ronin.
Ah, right, okay.
I need something that looks like Ronin.
I have ordered the stuff that I need to make Dogs of War. So I've ordered, basically, the... okay, so a Dogs of War army has a unit of ogres, which I'm going to use some Pendraken models for, unless I find something better, because it's not expensive. It also uses some some horse artillery.
Yeah,
I'm actually using some Napoleonics for that.
Yeah.
You know, and it has some birdmen. I found some random birdmen, but literally a man with some wings, like, you know, that is actually says birdman. okay, that'll do. And they're on their route. And I also ordered another bit of that. You know, the scenery we use.
Yeah, the smaller version.
Version of that, because they sold it. Apparently it's in the mail. Maybe it's waiting for me at home right now. I don't know. But it's taken a while. I've also along with that, I need those three more units of pikemen to come from Warmonger Miniatures. Again, but that's from America, so I expect that to take a long time.
Yeah.
And that's apparently been sent as well. So, yeah, and when I have all that, they will be... And on my painting table right now for Warmaster is Empire. When I go home, I'm going to be spraying Empire. I'm going to do the flagellants. I'm going to cut them all off their sprues, so the individual model, because they wouldn't be in ranks, because they're madmen.
Right,
you know,
and
they're going to get the brown spray that my Skaven are all going to get. So
dirty clogs.
Because obviously that takes longer to do, but I prefer the look of it if the unit isn't going to be ranked up, especially missile troops. Like the way GW did their models of one behind the other, it looks a bit weird, really, because like one guy's pointing a crossbow into the other guy's back of his head, and it's like
shoot him and then shoot.
So like I did with my Dwarf Thunderers, just take them all apart into like individuals, and you form serrated ranks, so one rank and then the other ranks in between the first rank, which is how missile troops would be, wouldn't it? Surely.
One kneeling, one standing.
But if there was enough kneeling models, all the kneeling at the front.
Yeah.
Anyway, Skaven, I like armies that, they won't form up. Skaven don't form up in ranks, they're masses, but they have more models of base anyway. They were sold, so their bases all physically fill. The base of models. It's like
a bucket of base.
Yeah.
Bucket for base.
So that's, we're waiting on some orders.
Painting Nippon very slowly, but at least it's getting done.
I don't think that we're not going to be able to get a doubles game.
No.
It doesn't matter.
Well, so the doubles, I'm playing Nippon, you're playing Dogs of War, Stroke Empire.
It's going to be Dogs of War. I have found out though that somebody else is using Dogs of War.
Special.
I'm not the only one playing Dogs
of War. They're not going to give an award for best Dogs of War player, I'm sure.
They might give an award for best Nippon player.
There might be a few of them. Bunker Warmaster as well. So let's try with doubles. That's
30th of April.
And then Bunker Warmaster 2.
July the 2nd.
With the Belgians coming.
Yes, we have had some emails, some Belgian, at least a Belgian is coming.
Yay.
And maybe some other Belgians as well, which would be lovely. Some internationals, why not? And so I've offered up my house for them to stay at if they want it. It's going to be quite cool. I mean, obviously, we've got to play in the April doubles event before I really start trying to chase people for sponsors, say chase speeches for prize support for Warmaster. I think if I ask now, it's too far away.
Yeah, it's too soon since the last one.
Yeah, exactly. So we will go and play in the doubles, hopefully take the title, you know, and then I'll start.
Hopefully not come last.
The day after that, I will start chasing the companies for.
You know, they're not playing on chess clocks and stuff.
I know, but.
You might get people playing for draws and all kinds of shenanigans.
We'll just have to win, won't we?
Just win quick.
We'll just win quick.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. So, contact details for the show. You can Facebook page, as always.
Yep.
We've got a new little chibi logo. And or you can email us at warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com.
Have we had any more emails?
I can't remember. Not from anybody.
Right.
Yeah. We get emails about hosting and stuff, but not from people who want questions.
Yep.
So if you email the show, we will obviously read it and then
send me links to things to buy.
Yeah, Paul always likes things to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Paul?
That's it. What are we doing next episode? Probably the Skype.
No, we've got the Skype with Janice. We're going to talk about Warmaster Ancients.
Yeah, because there is this. I mean, maybe the future might be is that we look at the Warmaster Ancients rule and maybe do a version where
there is one.
There is.
You've been reading
the French one.
The French one.
I can't read French. Yeah, but is it in English?
No. Is it French?
No, I can't read it.
Well, give it to Jim.
To translate. But Jim. Maybe, I don't know, maybe next year our War Master will evolve till a War Master Ancients War Master hybrid, which sounds like what the French play anyway.
Yeah, which is what... I forget his name. Rick.
Yeah.
Mentioned that there was a second edition.
Yeah, which basically
was War Master Ancient.
Well, I don't.
It was basically he made the second edition of War Master.
Yeah.
Which was a port of War Master Ancients into the Warhammer Fantasy world.
Basically, yeah. Now, I the only main difference I can think of is the maximum two pursuit rule in War Master Ancients. Is there any other big differences? I'm not sure.
Oh, there's lots.
Is there? There are other differences then.
Like you need to be able to see with all your base to shoot. So none of the shenanigans.
Ah, right. Well, that does make more sense, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I was playing some cheese at some point.
Yeah.
Like, corner of this base can see. Yes.
I suppose so. But, well...
There's quite a lot. I think it's worth doing.
Ultimately, if the rule set came later, then it's worth considering to be used, isn't it? I mean, the way we've gone on record as saying is that this rule book we have here is valid for this year... And then going into next year, we might then evolve it into something else. And that's what we're going forward. And I quite like that idea. I mean,
I like the idea the game's not static, it's not dead. Things can still happen.
Yeah.
Because we had a rules query today, literally, and it was like, who do we ask?
Yeah, exactly.
There is nobody to ask.
Yeah, there's no War Machine style Infernal. We can't go on a forum and ask a judge. Because there's only somebody else's opinion, and it's like, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So you just make a ruling, and that's it.
No, yeah, I guess so. That's, I mean,
basically everything's a house rule.
Yeah, I mean, the example is that a unit of basically. So I wanted to push back a unit of Saurus cavalry, which I'd blocked with some flyers behind, and they'd been flanked by some of my own cavalry. The question is which way do they push? When they've got troops to the front and troops to the rear. Same amount of stands. And it's like, I don't know, actually. I mean, is it a 50-50? Does the attacking player decide, or the defending player? I think if I saw that in a tournament, I don't know, I'd probably rule they go backwards as the default way, but I don't know, actually.
Yeah, and there was another one where I was using one of my skinks as an arknote.
Yeah.
To cast Wings of the Jungle.
Yeah, I think the only the way I would.
And the way I've been playing is that works.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, I think with this direction of where the Saurus cavalry go, I think I would have ruled it. They go backwards because the unit in front is touching more stands of the enemy than the unit in the flank is.
Okay.
I think. I don't know. But there is no. But that's probably that's how I yeah that's how I would.
So, and the Wings of the Jungle thing with the arc node.
Well, it doesn't say it can't, so I guess it says. I guess it means you can. I think characters can join. There's nothing stopping a character joining a flying unit.
No.
Like, they can do that. They don't have to be flying, because, as I say, most of the time they're on the ground anyway. And that spell, basically, when you cast it for a slan, it's as if the spell was cast by that wizard. So that implies that the wizard can do that spell. Again, I would have ruled that, that was correct, what we did. But again, it's open to interpretation.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And, I mean, I saw your pictures. Like, you created some examples, didn't you? Like you started creating some examples of
charges.
That was great. I mean, like,
looking at it again, I'm not sure it was 100% right.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, we have to, if we're going to produce things like that, we have to really make sure they're correct, don't we?
Yeah.
Every way.
It's such a... it doesn't look like a complicated game, but it is.
But I did a perfect example of where our Arata is coming into play. So I was playing against Josh, and Nav was sitting on the side, and he asked, oh, why don't you direct attacks into the corner of that unit there? And it's like, and he's looking through his rule book, the original rule book.
Oh, good luck with that.
And it's like, and it allows you to do so. And I said, oh, you can't because of this Arata here. And obviously, there's the answer.
Are they playing this system then?
Well, they are when I'm playing them. They will do if they're going to play in any event, obviously. Yeah. And I said, you can't do that because of the errata here. And I then explained why that makes the game a lot better. You know, and that was that. But it, obviously, if you've just got the original rule book, You haven't got the our one page errata, so you believe you'll believe that you can attack corner to corner and pick on units, which is a massive thing in the game.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It was those poor rangers.
Yeah,
they used to get slaughtered.
Yeah.
Poor things. Yeah. Okay, so that was the War Master Podcast episode 12. Yep. Paul and Barry.
Yep, thank you very much for listening. We're into our stride now. I think pretty much of our standard kind of episodes like this. So if you like this kind of episode, this is. They better keep listening to us then.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Paul chose the outro music for the first time.
Yes, and it's because it's connected to vampires. And I
and
doubt
it's got vampire
and
in the title.
And if somebody knows the song, I'd be surprised.
My wife said I should credit it, so it's in the show notes.
Brilliant, thank you.
So
thank you.
Not credit you, but credit the song.
Oh, okay.
So I have to put the name and the
Yeah.
Just in case. Right. So there you go. Listen to the song. Paul chose this one, first one. Okay. Good night.
I